Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
What were you thinking of?
I was running my route. I mean,
did you not throw where you're supposed to go?
Or? Just miscommunication. Both of us. We'll take it.
A little quickie from Pop Douglas in the locker room after the game, saying that it is both he and Drake May's responsibility on the miscommunication on the seam pass that seemed like it could have been completed, Andy, for what could have been a big gain with just over a minute left. But instead, he doesn't look. Drake May sails it. It's an interception, and it unfortunately puts a sour cap on what was a beautiful day at the old Razor and what could have been an awesome comeback win for the Patriots, with Drake May putting up some tremendous stats. 30 of 40 on the day, 282 yards, two touchdowns, and that one pick for a 100.2 passer rating. And you know what? For all the pressure that he faced, I know he was pressured on a number of dropbacks. You said earlier you thought the offensive line did the best that they could, considering who they are, which is a couple of guys who weren't even on the roster when the season started. Demontre Jacobs, come on. How many other teams would most of these guys even be on the roster of, from the wide receiver room all the way through the offensive line?
Yeah, not too many.
Not too many.
I mean, that's what they were doing. They were picking up the scraps of other teams, bottom of the roster and practice squad and waiver wire, and that's how you got your offensive line that you were excited to see out there for the second week in a row in front of Drake May against a pretty good front. And I actually do think they were more competitive than I expected them to be. I thought there were going to be more significant issues in this game. And I thought for who they are and what they are, they kind of held their own more often than not.
They are who we thought they were?
They might be slightly better than we thought they were in terms of me. You know, I reserve the right to change my opinion week to week because we'll see. But no, I thought they weren't the disaster that I expected.
This is a crap transition. Once again, the Six Rings Postgame Show is brought to you by our friends at McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVACers. Ding dong, rim jam. As well as expert...
Just get the name right.
McFarlaneEnergy.com. All right, back to the phones we go. Brian is down in Raynham. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Sorry, I had to get you a figure. Fitzy, congratulations on the championship. Nice to see you. We still got one championship over coach at the station.
Oh, thank you so much. It was honestly the highlight of my year, one of the proudest moments as a dad, just whatever, you know. It was truly awesome. Thank you so much for that, Brian.
Let me get to my point, though.
Yep.
Because am I the only one that is absolutely sick and tired of undisciplined penalties, blown coverage, and terrible play calling? Common denominator among all of those? Oh, and let me not forget, losing games because of poor special teams. The atrocious special teams. Oh, these were all tenants of Bill. But he's a big, bad meanie. We can't have coaching and discipline in this league anymore. No. He was mean to idiot pink hats like Hart and freaking wet brain Curtis that let the drum beat the drum of real coach out of town.
So you realize that the Patriots had terrible execution, terrible penalties, and one of the worst coach teams in football.
Today, Junior.
You don't like when you get truth thrown back at you. You just want to take cheap shots.
Just because you got your
I'm not fat. That's just stupid. Now you're embarrassing yourself on the radio. Now you're just embarrassing yourself on the radio.
Shut up! You're an idiot.
So Bill was good 20 years ago. So we should have kept him, even though he sucked at the end.
Well, that call took a turn.
Wow!
Started out nice when he complimented me on my.
They don't like it when you throw facts at them.
Well,
this has been one of the most penalized and undisciplined football teams for the better part of 3 years.
Brian, I will thank you for the call and for the nice words you had to say at the top about what I had to do, about what happened in my life. Thank you very much. However, that being said, I think people, Andy, there is a revisionist historian. They must sell like either a filter you can put on social media or glasses at the pro shop or something that people can look at the record of the Patriots the last couple of years. Yes, I understand the Patricia offense outgained and had more points at this point through that point of the season in 2022 than this offense now. There was more talent even on that team, believe it or not. Lots more talent. And we're developing a rookie quarterback here as well, folks. But the special teams mistakes were plentiful the last couple of years. Does everyone forget the return touchdowns and the finale in 2022, which technically was early January 2023? Was it two Nyheim Hines kickoff return touchdowns against Buffalo in that game?
Yeah.
How many penalties? How many special teams? Jake, what's his face? Our old punter. Remember, he got punt blocks in that year as well. They got into an issue with the freaking punter over squatting and like how they wanted to rehab his injury. Like it was a mistake. It's like all these mistakes. I hate to say it to folks, but the mistakes that are being made now are frustrating. But those mistakes have been made the last couple of years. The special teams were terrible under Cam Accord. Bill Belichick was not able to coach the team the same way. And the personnel department, which he was in charge of, also had issues. They're trying to fix them now, but it's a new regime with a lot of new players. It's a totally different thing. The only thing that's the same is the address and the logo and the ownership. Otherwise, it's a whole different shebang now.
Bill couldn't draft, he couldn't coach, and he couldn't put together a coaching staff. Other than that, he was a fine guy at the end of his tenure. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if I'm going to have a guy who can't coach and can't have a disciplined football team and makes lots of mistakes, wouldn't you rather it be a young guy who's learning on the fly that you think is going to get better, not a 72-year-old who clearly is going in the wrong direction? I mean, it was quite clear that it was going in the wrong direction here in everything that Bill Belichick did. They weren't as well coached. They didn't have as good a staff, and they didn't have the talent. He wasn't nailing the draft. He wasn't nailing his hirings, and he wasn't nailing his week-to-week work. Other than that, he was doing a hell of a job.
That's what I do.
I'd say this is perfect, Andy, because you're railing on Belichick and carrying the show for a moment. I'm staring at the screen where you're broadcasting, or I thought I was going to be looking at you as you broadcast from your South Coast home studios, and instead, I got a Taco Bell ad on Twitch, so now I'm seeing beefy seven-layer burritos, which is definitely playing right now.
Have you seen that $7 box they're selling?
Yes.
It's got like three yummy-looking things in it, plus chips and
is there
and
anything
sauce?
Better than, like, the Wendy's Biggie Bag is amazing. Now McDonald's with their little $5 bag action and the $7 Burrito Supreme multiple chip action thing, whatever they got going
Tremendous.
On over Taco. I love it. Nothing
we're
I love fighting, more than a
we're
value.
Fighting the inflation, baby, with all these discount meals and boxes at fast food.
The problem is we're fighting inflation by guaranteeing gastric inflation on our own behalf as well. Oh, man, I could go for some of those right now. And now you're back on there. All right.
We just have random
transition.
Ads. Huh?
Yeah. Speaking of crap transitions, exactly. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll get to more of your calls. When we come back, we will also get into the Drake May Love Fest that continues to take place locally, regionally and nationally. And like I said, somebody who was involved in today's game just doled out a whole lot of love for Drake May, and I think it's valid. We'll share that with you. 6:30, we have the Drake May report card from Chris Scheim. But first, let's catch you up on, speaking of $7 burrito boxes, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Braverman.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Right after this, I got to figure out how the heck that relates. So,
don't ask, just give them the scores.
Okay. Rams defeated the Patriots today at home, 28-22, your final score. The defense struggled to slow down the Rams offense and Matthew Stafford, who threw four touchdowns on the day. Drake May did make some history, became the first Pats quarterback since some guy named Tom Brady in 2019 with 100 yards passing and a touchdown throw in one quarter. He finished the day 30 of 40 with 282 yards, two touchdowns, and threw the game-ending interception. The Pats sit at 3-8. They will head down to South Beach to take on the Miami Dolphins. That kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Some other scores going around the NFL. For week 11, the Packers blocked the Bears' 49-yard field goal attempt to squeak by Chicago 20-19. The Steelers fended off the Ravens' late two-point conversion attempt to beat Baltimore 18-16. And currently going on, it's the Chiefs taking on the Bills. They are in the third quarter with the Bills on top 16-14. The Sunday slate of games ends with the Bengals taking on the Chargers. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI FM. With coverage beginning at 7:30 following Six Rings. Jason Tatum's three-pointer at the buzzer helped the Celtics knock off the Raptors in overtime last night, 126-123. Bruins were not as fortunate yesterday as they fell in OT to the Blues 3-2. The Black and Gold will welcome the Blue Jackets to town tomorrow, while the Celtics play their second NBA Cup game against the undefeated Cavs on Tuesday night. Some other Celtics news, it was announced that the team will be visiting the White House this upcoming Thursday. And staying in the NBA, multiple reports say that TNT's studio show Inside the NBA will be allowed to air on ESPN and ABC next season as part of a settlement with Warner Brothers Discovery. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Pocket today, extend drives. I thought he was patient, taking some underneath checkdowns where guys were able to create. We had some tighter coverages, and he was able to fit the ball into tight windows. So he looks like a stud. You know, I didn't do too much work on him coming out, but I do know that a lot of people that studied him really hard that, you know, that I truly respect their, you know, their opinions, loved what he was all about. You can see, you know, just the impact that he has on his teammates, the way people talk about him here. He looks like he's going to be a special player for a long time, and he gave us fits today.
Add Los Angeles Rams coach Sean McVay to the Drake May lover list. That was Rams coach Sean McVay talking about Drake May in the postgame today after Drake May went 30 for 40 for 282 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, a costly pick, a game-ending pick, a tough pick indeed. Said that the people that selected Drake May, he knows him, did their due diligence, gave them fits out there today, Andy. Add him to Gruden, to Orlovsky, to so many others that believe that Drake May is a real one, and the Pats nailed the first draft pick under Wolf Mayo, AVP and company, and that he's going to be a significant portion of the rebuild and hopefully the brightest spot in the football future of Foxborough.
Other than random texters and callers who still seems like there's a group of haters in that mix occasionally, the list of people that question Drake May is shrinking to almost null and void and just gone.
Well, there was one that I do believe, I think I bookmarked this earlier today. He does lead the, what is it? He leads the league in like turnover worthy plays or there's some.
Awesome.
Well, it's just one of those like risk. What? Yeah, everyone has a, everyone's got a fancy new stat for something like
haters hate.
Turnover
haters
risk.
Hate.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I just think those are the same people that would tell me Josh Allen's not a great quarterback. Josh Allen's going to win his fifth straight AFC East title. So you can stick you're not a great quarterback right up your bum
this,
bum.
This from our old pal Dakota Randall. Drake May now up to 8 turnovers on the season. This was in-game, so now he ultimately he's up to he's got 9 on the season. 9 indeed. Drake May now up to 9 turnovers on the season. He entered Week 11 with the highest Pro Football Focus turnover-worthy play percentage among all starting quarterbacks. But like to your point,
couldn't care less.
Just like with Josh Allen, like this is what you get with the ride. Number one and number two, are the results not good enough for you? Would anyone dare to say Drake May is the reason, or even a significant reason, why the Patriots did not win today?
So let me just ask you a simple question. You only have one other quarterback option. His name is Jacoby Brissett. If Jacoby Brissett played today, would you have had the ball and an opportunity to win the game in the closing minutes?
No.
No.
Probably not.
I think you lose. That's probably where you would have gotten the score that I predicted, a 30-13. Because I thought Drake May was really good for most of this game. He's going to make mistakes. I would also argue, can we look at the talent, quote-unquote, around him on the offensive line and at the receiver position? He is limited. I'm not happy with Kayshon Booty. I think Kayshon Booty continues to show me an inability to high point and fight for the football. He just doesn't. If I were a coach, that would be my main. You know when Bill used to have his little piece of paper and his little pencil and he would write down things? I would write down Booty high point drill, because he just doesn't fight for the ball. He doesn't go up and get the football, and that's costing them plays with Drake May, because I do think he's kind of evolved into his number one receiver here. And like, he needs to be better. He needs to do more if he wants to stay in that role.
I believe it was 4 for 35 today for Kendrick Bourne was your leading receiver today, 5 for 70 with a touchdown. Also, just side note on that, I love that this week they said he's going to be a big part of the offense going forward. He was. He caught a touchdown, had that nice catch to keep the last drive going before ultimately it was intercepted. Why he didn't play last? I mean, I know they won the game, so it's okay. But again, another one of those odd decisions made along the way. Kayshon Booty, 4 for 33 today. 8.3 yards. Longest was 13, and he did unfortunately have that bad drop in the first half.
Hideous drop on a perfectly thrown slant pass. That was unacceptable. And then the deep ball or intermediate ball down the field, that I think it was a beautiful throw. He had an opportunity. I think Sanchez even called him out and said, you got to go up and get that ball. You got to make a play. Now, he's a quarterback, so he's biased. I get that. He views that through a certain lens. But Kayshon Booty needs to be better. DeMario Douglas needs to be better. I don't see what people are seeing if they want to critique Drake May. Is there room for growth? Yep. Just like there is for all those other guys. But I will stand on my own assessment that I love to use. If everybody did their job as well as Drake May does his, this team would be winning football games. This team would be a lot better.
Yes. Also, I just came across a tweet. Someone, I think it's like at Pats Fan EST 1986. So I imagine that must be established 1986. It's kind of a long handle.
A little bit wordy.
Patriots would, Patriots would be 8-3 if Belichick were coaching right now. Are you serious?
Excuse me. What's that now?
8-3.
How you get that?
I don't know.
Is that where we're going to pretend that Bill of this year would be Bill of like circa 2003? Or are we going to have Bill that was circa 2023, 22, 21, 20, the bad Bill? Because if you tell me the prime of his coaching career, Bill, where he had the Midas touch and seemed to always kind of get the right thing to happen, I might have a better – you could sell me on he wins the Seattle game. He wins the Tennessee game, like little things. But that Bill is long gone and hard to find. That Bill hasn't been around in a long, long time.
Well, as we continue to heap praise upon praise for the rookie quarterback, and we've got more from the television set earlier today from a couple of former Patriots who love them, some Drake May as well. Let's get the original maniac on the line right now, joining us here on the hotline to deliver the weekly Drake May report card. He is, of course, one of the producers on the Greg Hill Morning Show here on WEI, as well as one of my broadcast compatriots, the one and only Chris Primetime Shime, joins the Six Rings Postgame Show. Hello, Shima. How are you?
Boys, what's going on? Good evening. Hello.
Yes, all those, indeed. Bon mots, greetings, salutations, etc. Shime, man, that last pass, that must have, I feel for you, that one must have hit home where it counts.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I was really mad that the receiver never even turned around. Like, it's really hard to watch that game and go, man, imagine if that was Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. That's probably a catch, and you're on your way to possibly tying that football game.
Yeah, but Pats fans told us we don't need Cooper Kupp. Why would we ever want to trade for someone like that? We got to let our...
Why would you ever want talented receivers?
You wouldn't
want experience
those.
And leadership and, you know, a hard-working mentality and all those things that this group seems to lack. Anyway.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. We were just pushing back because I think you're probably going to share a mind with me on this. I thought this was the haters can circle the fumble and the interception. Absolutely. Like, those are facts. Those are stats. They're there. I can't just ignore them. But I watched the bulk of this game, and I thought Drake May was awesome. I thought in the first half he was borderline perfect if Kayshon Booty knew how to catch the ball and go get the football.
It's a lot to ask of a receiver, Andy.
Yeah, it is a lot to ask of a young receiver to catch the football. Yeah. But I thought he dealt with the situation, a pretty good pass rush. I thought his line was okay. What was your assessment for most of the day of Drake May?
Yeah, I thought Drake was awesome. This was, in my opinion, without a doubt, the best game he has played yet as an NFL professional. Like, this was awesome. He was making throws. I felt like he wasn't hesitant to just let it rip at times, whether his receivers actually held on to the football or not. He was not afraid to throw it over the middle and just let it rip. And I loved that. I was excited. He even gave a guy like Booty an opportunity early in the game to go down the field and get a ball. And that's what I think I love the most about him, is he sees his guys in one-on-one coverage, and he's not afraid to give them a chance. He's going to give you a catchable ball, and he's going to allow you to go make a play. Unfortunately, these guys don't necessarily always make those plays, but he's going to give you the opportunity to do so. And I think he handled this game very, very well. I really want to go back and see on that strip sack exactly what he was looking at, exactly kind of what the receiver looked like there. Because if he was covered up, like, I don't blame Drake for the strip sack. Like, he got absolutely crushed on his blind side. But if he was holding onto the football there on the pump fake because the receiver was just covered up and that's his first read, then there's just nothing he can do. Like, that's incumbent on the lineman to, I don't know, give him more than a split second to do something. And so I'm really curious to see exactly how that looked once the All-22 tapes come out. But overall, this was, without a doubt in my mind, the best game Drake May has played as a professional.
It's Shime Time with the Drake May report card here on the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Hart on WEEI. Shime, one element of today that, or rather one element of Drake May's game that we didn't see much of today was the running. He actually only took off three times, no real design runs, rather just three scooting boots for a grand total of 25 yards. I think that was a point of emphasis for the Rams and their defense coming into the game today to prevent him from breaking off a couple of those signature long runs.
Yeah, I think that's 2 weeks in a row now that you've seen May kind of sit in the pocket a little bit more. I think it's both been a point of emphasis for other defenses, but I think it's also been a point of emphasis for him to keep his eyes downfield and try and find any receiver that might be open to give them a chance to make a play. I think he has, after that Tennessee game, he's like, you know what, I need to focus more on throwing the football down the field and giving my receivers a little bit more time to open up. And I think that's what he's been trying to do. Even when he scrambles at first, right, he just slides away from the pocket and he starts moving towards the sideline. It's that Josh Allen thing. It's not a tuck and run right away, like kind of like what he did against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Instead, the last 2 weeks, and especially this week, it's I'm just going to keep drifting away from the pressure, and I'm going to hopefully one of my guys opens up and I can hit them with a good pass.
And he had another one of those plays today, I want to say to Gibson, but I might be wrong, where it was much like the Hunter Henry one last week, where he stepped up, and I think first start, he would have just run. But this time, he steps up, and then boom, just a little flip. Let this guy, he's an athlete, let him do the damage. And they picked up, I think, a first down on the play. And I also have to say, I was dead wrong about Drake May. He's faster than I thought he was.
Yes, he is.
Can scoot. I thought he was a competent runner. He's a good runner. There was a run down the left sideline today where he seems to have functional speed. I don't know that he runs full speed all the time, but when he realizes, oh, there's a safety and I got to scoot a little bit faster for these next three steps, he's able to do it. And I do think when he does it cautiously or intelligently, it puts the defense in a bind. One of those outside linebackers for the Rams, they showed a close-up, and you could literally see his eyes looking at May and then looking back to the guys covering and at May, and it's like deer in head, like, what do I do here? I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. I've already seen him dump it off if I step up and take him away, but if I don't step up and I cover the guy, he's just going to run for the first down. So I think we are already seeing, 6 weeks in, an evolution in terms of his mobile maturity, if that's a phrase I can put on him. I think his mobile maturity is improving by the week.
It was, just mark it down, everyone. It was, you were today years old when the phrase mobile maturity was trotted out. And
It's not bad, right?
I don't disagree with it. And I would even add to your assessment of his running, he's incredibly light on his feet, yet balanced when he moves.
I think Andy's kind of right on it. And I think clearly Drake has watched a lot of what Patrick Mahomes does, because I think it's very resemblant of that. And, you know, I hate to compare anybody to Patrick Mahomes because he's kind of a unicorn, but I think the process in which they do it is very similar, right? It's that I am going to be really light and agile and I want to look to make a pass, but I put that linebacker or that safety in no man's land, because if they commit to me, I make a throw to a wide open guy on a check down and he's going to get yards after the catch. And if they commit to the receiver, I scamper away and turn on the afterburners for a couple extra yards, pick up six or seven. Or, I mean, in Drake May's case, he's a run of 15 yards or more in four straight games. So, I think it is becoming an absolute weapon for him. For teams knowing how lethal he can be running, I think it was really kind of beneficial for him to get those out of the way early, because now teams have to respect it, and it just opens up so many more options for him. And he's clearly able to process those in real time, in game speed, and I think that's what makes it that much more impressive.
Yeah, there's no denying that he has a maturity and a poise about him on field that is light years beyond what I think any of us, even the biggest May stands, could have possibly imagined or hoped for. And then there's the Drake May we're getting off the field, Shime, who's also equally impressive. The leadership roles, deferring, you know, praise to his teammates and then stepping in front of the oncoming train of criticism for some of them, like the way that he said, you know, he wants to help, you know, prop up Jalen Polk, who had another really rough day at the office, if you will. I'm not going to lie, it's bad. I mean, this poor kid is in his head something wicked right now, and you don't want to just immediately say, uh-oh, second round receiver, he's got to go, that's it, he stinks, he's already a lost cause. Like, he was too good at college to come into the NFL and stink this bad. Something's got to give, or at least
you
someone's
sure about that?
I'm hoping so. It'd be a shame because of all the people that were taken around before him or right after him as well. Fisk, as we talked about earlier, was taken 39th. My guy, Ladd McConkey, 32nd. I'm not going to let that one go. And I think that's just another level of his game that is going to make people outside of New England, as well as Pats fans at the stadium and here at the station and beyond, love him. The fact that he's like displaying the maturity, like Andy's talking about mobile maturity. I'll just talk about sporting maturity, leadership right there. That impresses me just as much.
Yeah, I would have to agree. He has started to take complete ownership of this team and this offense. And even with the Pop Douglas miscommunication at the end of the game, like, he is not going to shy away from, yeah, that's on me. I got to be better at communicating with my guy. We got to prepare that better for next time so that we're on the same page. And I think that's important. And Fitzy, I kind of said this with you yesterday when we were hosting together. And like, there's just enough of that golden retriever brain in him where it's just like, I know everything he says is genuine. Like, there's never any veiled shots. There's never any underlying tension. What he says is 100% genuine. And he just wants to go out there and win football games and be the best quarterback he can be. And I think that's one of the things that is going to make him really, really good in this sport, is that ability to just be like, I don't, you know, blame whoever you want, but it's on me. I got to make the plays. I want to go out there and be the best guy on the field.
Hey, Sean, go ahead, Andy.
Well, I was just going to say, so last week was his lowest grade. What's his grade this week?
Yeah, it's the highest grade he had so far. I'm going to give him an A- and 90, right on the 90 mark.
Whoa, very good grade.
I want to go higher. But, I mean, dude, the guy completed 75% of the passes. You asked a rookie quarterback to drop back 40 times, and he lit it up like he was awesome for 99.5% of that game. Again, the interception, I think, is 50% on him, sure, but it's also 50% on Pop Douglas at least. Like, the guy's at least got to turn his head. I want to know what the play would have looked like if the receiver had just turned his head and tried for it. Would it have still been a pick? Would it have been incomplete? Would it have been a catch? I don't know. But, like, that alone to me kind of absolves some of the blame there on Drake. And, again, the strip sack, I don't put all on him. I need to see exactly what he was looking at when he decided to kind of pull that ball back down on the pump. But I got to go even 90. Like, that was easily the best game he has played as a professional. He gave them a chance to win that football game. If the defense could get pressure with seven guys on cover zero, this game might have been a little bit different. But instead, you couldn't, and Matthew Stafford ate you alive.
Between the strip sack, you know, Fisk is going to get home. He's really good. I'm not sure exactly what he was looking at as well, Shime. The interception that basically ended the game. And in between there was actually just a play prior. The one that I had my biggest quibble with him was when he held on to the ball too long on second down. And then he took the sack, and it went from second and six back to third and 13. That was the one where it's like, okay, definitely the rookie stripes were showing there. You got to get rid of that ball. You can't take that sack. Throw it away, dirt it, run up the gut, whatever it could have been. Maybe he just obviously couldn't find an alley to scoot. But that was the only one for me that was sort of like, all right, kid, better next time. But overall, a terrific day as well. All right, a 90 is the grade, an A- on the Drake May report card from Shime Time. You can hear him tomorrow on the Greg Hill Morning Show. They will be broadcasting live from Gillette Stadium. They will have Gerard Mayo in the 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, don't miss Drake May. Andy, maybe you can – have you shared the fact that we could do Drake May report cards with him when you do the interviews?
I have not. Should I share that tomorrow and tell him the various grades over the last couple of weeks?
Why not? See if he agrees with. I think that would be fun. Let him know. Shime, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh my God, I would love that. That'd be amazing.
As if Shime needs another person on Shime Island.
No, no, that would be great. I think that would be excellent. I bet he would. I bet he'd agree with the A-, or at least I hope he would. All right. Anyway, give him a follow at Shime Time on the Twitter platform as well. Shime, great job as always. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon, kid.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a good night.
Thank you as well, my guy. Hart, the one question I was going to ask Shime, but I'll ask you now before we jump to the break. If right now you could give, here's a fun little one. Maybe we can chew up as we head towards the home stretch here of the Six Rings postgame show. Between a wizard of an offensive coordinator, an offensive line, or a rock solid offensive line, or a dynamic room of top grade receivers, if you could pick one of those three, which would it be for Drake May?
Dynamic room of top grade receivers, because I think he's already shown he can make chicken salad with Alex Van Pelt and make chicken salad with this offensive line.
What are you calling Alex Van Pelt?
I'm not calling them anything. I'm saying when they get in the kitchen and they chop up a little celery and mix a little mayo in and chop up some nice, what do they, blanch the chicken? Your boy, how do you make the chicken for chicken? I think it would be roast it. Whatever. Chopping up the chicken. They get together, he and Alex Van Pelt. I think they can be good enough. Right now, I think they are severely lacking in playmakers. I think this group right here, like this offensive line and Alex Van Pelt with better playmakers, could be so much better. Like even today, like the throw, and I know this is the offensive line, but the low penalty was just a killer. That was another highlight reel.
That was awful.
That was another one of my recruiting video type plays that is just wiped out. But I think if you just give him playmakers, and I'm not asking for a ton, maybe a guy who turns his head when the ball's in the air.
Am I asking too much? Is that so wrong?
Even Kayshon Booty was like, boy, at least I looked at the ball. I mean, I didn't fight for it, but I at least looked at it.
I mean, I didn't catch it, but at least I looked the right direction.
My eyes were there. It's laughable right now, this group he has to work with. And he's done a pretty good job with them, in my opinion. But if you gave him an actual playmaker, an actual guy where when the going gets tough, because Shime's right. Drake talked with me about this on my show in the afternoon. You hear that, Arcane? I said it. My show, host to my
Boy,
show.
I gotta tell you, we are getting a whole lot of full of ourselves these days. Last Sunday on the show, you're telling people like, I'm showing Fitzy and Arcane how easy it is to host the postgame show. Now you're actually taking ownership. My God, do we need to get a wide-angle lens on your Zoom camera at home to fit this growing ego in frame? Holy macaroni. Right.
I think I need to grow my figurative head to the same size as my literal head. They both need to be big heads.
Have mercy on you, boy. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we'll share a little extra praise for Drake May that arrived in the form of some television commentary earlier today from some of your beloved former Patriots as well. We've got the Cars for Kids player of the game. Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. Holy Moses, that's a whole lot of postgame show to squeeze in before we get to 7:30 and throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. Joey Burrow and the Bengals against Herbie the Love Bug, Jim Harbaugh, and the Chargers. It's all coming up right here, Six Rings on EEI.
I love Drake May. I love everything about him, especially that he had brothers growing up and he was always competing versus them. His brothers are busting his chops and then they're always praising him the next day. And that was kind of like my life growing up. And just that aura around him. He's a complete leader. He's a complete quarterback out on the football field, too. He has that aura around him where the players like him. They like what he's doing. They like how he prepares. And to have that skill to call a team meeting as a rookie at 22 years old, you know you're going to be the real deal, and you know you're in the right mindset to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots if you're already doing that. He's letting his play on the field speak for himself, and his leadership grows as his play on the field grows, and that coincides with each other.
The Gronk, Rob Gronkowski on the Fox NFL pregame show today. Sending a little love the way of Drake May. You love to hear it. Also, his compatriot, former teammate and broadcast partner, Julian Edelman, also loved up on Drake May as well. I think we have that as well, Joe Brave.
He's earned the ability to call a team meeting with his play the last few weeks and how he's came in and he's been productive. And he's also improved each and every week. So there's a big difference between a quarterback that comes in and calls a players only meeting when he's been playing like dog crap.
Yeah, you know,
this kid's been fighting his butt off.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a good attitude. I think it's granted.
He's been fighting his tight end off.
Yeah, his tight end.
All right. Sometimes no one ever said that English was their forte, but more to the point, it's great to hear the praise being heaped on them. Yeah, they struggle a little bit with the English language. It's okay.
They were good on the field.
He's came in here. Like, grammar,
leave him alone. They've been hitting the head a lot.
That's a good point.
Me like Drake May aura.
Yes. And Gronk like May. Me too.
Gronk's analysis of Drake May is basically what I've been saying for weeks now. Like, I do believe.
Are you accusing Gronk of take-snaking you?
Nope. I think Gronk and I are just like-minded, and I'm okay with that. I'm more than okay with that. I think he's a good, genuine human being who treats people right. So I'm okay with that. But he did get sort of bred for this through the family and the athleticism and the brothers and the whole thing. And, I mean, Mac didn't. That's just the reality. And I know, you know, like, why you got to compare him to Mac? Well, because he was the previous first-round pick who was supposed to be the next franchise
quarterback. And just that aura around him.
Yep. He's got an aura. Cam Newton had an aura. Drake May has an aura about him. It's a youthful aura. Fitzy, I don't know if you saw the video the Patriots put out on Friday, maybe. Drake May did something with a bunch of
kids on the field. Yeah, so that was at the premiere. Someone was able to bid on having Drake May and someone else from the offensive line come out and do like a little fun rookie quarterback clinic. And he had a bunch of 8 and 10-year-old kids out there, flag football style. It was awesome. Yeah, I thought it was tremendous.
But it also, I thought he had the winter hat on. I thought it made him look even younger. It was like the senior high school quarterback doing something with the elementary school kids.
He's got
a
baby face. He's like,
he is so young. Yeah. And I love how good and authentic his leadership, the steak dinner thing this week, paid for the offensive linemen.
That was great.
I'm starting to be serious about this. Is there anybody that doesn't like Drake May? Is there anybody that doesn't have, you know, just good things to say about Drake May right now?
It's a legitimate, valid question at this point now. So many people, from opposing coaches to his own teammates to former players to national analysts, and, you know, like, the best of the week, I think, was, in case anyone didn't hear it, Joe, can you grab the John Gruden one? John Gruden, a recent hire over at Barstool Sports, was on a watch-along this week for Thursday Night Football, doing John Gruden things, and he got more than nicey-nicey feeling when he was talking about what he thinks Drake May is going to be.
Drake May is going to be a superstar. Drake May is going to be everything you're looking for. Five-star. Five-star. Bad apple. He's a horse, man.
I mean, endorsements of quarterbacks and their potential do not get much bigger, better, or brighter than that. When John Gruden, the QB whisperer himself, tells you that he's going to be a superstar, hell yeah.
In a world where it's hard to get people to be so unanimous, and certainly unanimously positive, I feel like unanimously negative is a little easier.
That's
easier. Right. So in a world where it's hard to get people so unanimously positive, especially without a scoreboard, there's a lot of people that are simple. Oh, if Drake May was 8-2 right now or whatever, they'd say he's great. And you're like, well, he's done this. His team loses. He turns the ball over. And yet, almost universally, Patriots fans, non-Patriots fans, everybody is like, this kid is the real deal. That is, it's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really, again, without wins and without the truly wow moment or production, he hasn't really even had that yet.
Oh, he's got the wow moment.
When?
The end of the Titans game. Are you kidding? That was wow. That was wow.
You mean right before he threw a hideous pick? That's my point. Like, he hasn't been carried off the field successfully. Like, he.
No, but I mean, that's as wow as a moment gets.
Yeah, I would disagree. I think wow as a moment gets is Jaden Daniels throwing a touchdown Hail Mary and they win the game. That's why I think it's so easy to jump on the Jaden Daniels bandwagon. He's got a 7-3 record and he's throwing Hail Marys that break other teams and lift his in a place where previously they sucked. Drake May's wow moment, well, it wasn't so wowing in the end, right? Like, that's where I think it's weird.
We don't have a sponsor for agree to disagree, but I'll agree to disagree with you on that one. That was about that was as wow as it gets for me in terms of physical skills, improvisational playmaking ability, superstardom. Like, that turned everyone's head. That set New England.
How'd the game end?
It ended in a loss. Was it his fault that the defense allowed
point.
The Titans to go?
The world is simple. Most people believe if you win, you're a winner, and if you lose, you're a loser. My afternoon radio host believes this. Like, Randy Moss was a loser because he never won the Super Bowl. Both.
I couldn't disagree.
Famous rich radio host in this town. He just hasn't had his moment. His moment is yet to come, and still everybody loves him.
He has not had his ultimate moment. If we want to qualify it to this degree, now we're, as my old man used to say, now we're picking pepper out of fly blank. He hasn't had the ultimate moment. Today could have been that if he led a game-winning drive, but instead, some of his rookie stripes came out, and he miscommunicated right. with his receiver. He overthrew it, didn't get the kid to turn, or vice versa, whatever it was. But to me, in terms of just like having a signature moment on the season or a play that turned heads and brought everyone aboard the Drake May train, the 11.82 seconds he ran around at the end of the Titans game with the no playmakers whatsoever, finding Ramondre for a 7-yard Hail Mary was as spectacular. You heard Tom Curran immediately afterwards saying, like, that was the everyone goes out and buys a Drake May jersey moment. That was what,
Patriots
that's what they
fans,
needed.
Sure. Patriots fans, absolutely. I believe in but I don't think anybody nationally has seen the wow moment because they watched him a few minutes later throw an interception to lose the game.
Here you go right here. Let's see. Okay. Dark and Stormy Nights on who's watching on Twitch right now. The scramble play touchdown. Meh. I don't think it was a meh play. Come on.
It was a great play
it was
in
a
loss.
Spectacular play.
To me, if you want a spectacular play, I'll give you an example of one. Drew Bledsoe to Kevin Turner in the back of the end zone on his
70th throw. Yes.
Like, that ends it, right? Touchdown, mm-hmm. walk-off, or Jaden Daniels, any one of those. To me, a spectacular play in a
Brady
loss.
Brady to Kembrell Tompkins, there you go.
Is, right? Like, is an after. Like, a lot of great plays happen in sports all the time. If you lose the game right after, it's not your uplifting penultimate wow moment, right? And that's how I look at what Drake May's doing. He's made a lot of plays, hasn't won a lot of games, and the fact that so many people universally love him, I find amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
Because you can see what he would like. I'll leave it at this. Take May, put him on the Rams today, or at least give him just Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua, let alone the both of them, and you would have had a drastically different outcome.
Probably
drastically.
If you put Drake May on the Rams, whew, Sean McVay and Drake May married up for the next 10 years, maybe?
That would be something else. But instead, we got Jalen Polk.
Hey, why'd it turn negative?
All right, fine.
We were having a fun everybody loves Drake.
Oh, like you wouldn't make the same joke, Andy.
No, I don't. I'm starting to feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I have certain rules. It. Like, when you poke fun at somebody who's stumbling, but actually, like, this feels like we're really close to bullying the helpless person who can't do any better. Like, that's how bad he's been. He seems helpless on the field. He can't line up.
Nope.
He can't stay on sides. Like, he can't catch the ball. He does nothing well, and I'm starting to feel it's not funny.
No, it's not funny about it. No, it sucks. It's
sad
it's
for the
super
team.
Super disappointing.
And it's sad for both. Like, I almost think sometimes we get like these cheap laughs, but then you realize, oh, shoot, we really did use a second round pick on him, and he was supposed to be Drake May's running mate for the next 10 years. And then for him, you know, he was a good player in college who was drafted in the second round and is supposed to be Drake May's running mate for the next 10 years, and his career is going down the crapper.
Was it like 69 catches for like 1,200 yards and like 7 or 8 touchdowns? I'm spitballing here, but I think that
no, he was a good player.
He was a very good player on a prolific offense in college football last year in a trio of excellent receivers, and he just isn't able to put it together now. And it's not like he's fighting for like a target share or something. It's not like, oh, man, you know, too bad he's got Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase in front of him. Otherwise, this kid would really emerge. Like,
nope.
Please, anybody, step to the front. Become the next him in the Patriots wide receiver room. The poor guy is just thinking to. I don't understand why he's having the issues and why he's applying so much pressure to himself right now. But maybe he'll come around and maybe he'll break the, as Steve from Fall River called it earlier in the show, the curse of Deion Branch. And by the way, if you happen to have missed any of the show earlier today, just use the Audacy app, download it today, AUDACY. You can always catch your favorite moments from any of our programs during Monday through Friday, on the weekends, and more, plus your favorite podcasts at your leisure and convenience. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, it's the home stretch here of the Six Rings post-game show, brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. We got the Cars for Kids player of the game. Thumbs up, thumbs down, plus perhaps even a content replay of Gerard Mayo's post-game presser, which was a good one with some interesting bites indeed. It's all coming up when you come back for the finish of today's Six Rings post-game show here on WEEI. It's the end of our show. It's end of the show. And it's time to go.
And it's time to go.
Fitzy and Harlow.
Six Rings Post Game Show.
Love the song. See what you're doing there, Joe. The California rejoins.
And we're not in L.A. Time for the Cars for Kids player of the game.
It's an easy
one.
Having
a hard time with that high note, aren't you?
It's a tough one, man. I got to tell you, I don't have the same falsetto I used to have, Joe. Ah, it's a shame. Well, we do the best we can with what we got, right? Cars for Kids player of the game. It is the easiest way to get rid of your old car. All you have to do is donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. I don't even have to, like, do we even need to tell anybody that the player of the game was Drake May? I mean, 30 or 40. 282 yards, two tutties, unfortunately, one pick, one strip sack fumble. He's going to get better. He's already impressing everybody. We're all fans right now. The Patriots nailed the pick. Like, the Drake May Appreciation Society has been in session for three straight hours plus, and it will reconvene many times this week here on WEEI and beyond. But there's no doubt that he was the player of the game. However, we had some judgments passed on other players, Andy, which is why now it's a great time. Whoa, first, hold on. Before we get to thumbs up, thumbs down, and then wrap out with a replay of Gerard Mayo's presser postgame, you never told the audience, Mr. I Can Host Any Radio Show, who the sneaky dink was.
So I don't love saying this because I've liked the guy. He brings definite energy. But we played that audio earlier of the target on the final throw of the day for the New England Patriots.
No, Douglas. You're not going to sneaky dink pop.
Yeah, I'm going to sneaky dink pop because this is the second time this season. Earlier this year, I didn't like him bitching about targets and wanting the football. Going public with something that can be very private, in my opinion, can be very effective if you just talk to Alex Van Pelt, talk to your quarterback, whatever. And then today, I thought he made a clear intended comment to make sure people didn't think it was all on him for not looking. Both of us. Don't do that. The quarterback takes the brunt of the criticism most games anyway. They get too much credit and too much blame. That's the reality. If you really want to be the go-to receiver for this team, remember how Julian Edelman developed? And I know it's different because Julian Edelman was developing behind a young Tom Brady, but like, Tom's way is the way. If he wants to go to California and throw on the beach, then damn it, I'm getting on a plane and I'm going to California to throw on the beach. If he wants to go to a mountain, I'll follow him to a mountain. If he wants me to do X, I'll do X. And that, to me, if DeMario Douglas wants to be the 100-catch receiver for this offense moving forward, he should avoid pissing off the quarterback. If I were the quarterback, I'd be pissed off right now. You need to see the throw through my eyes, not the other way around. I don't know who you think you are. You want to be treated like a quarterback? Play quarterback. You're not. You're a slot receiver.
You come honestly, to the quarterback, correct?
Yeah, and you've underperformed this season, in my opinion, Pop Douglas. I thought you were going to be better than this, and I think as a person, you need to be better than this. So
this isn't sneaky. This is going a little bit beyond sneaky.
I don't like it. I don't like the air that comment had. You just like Drake May has done nothing but praise his offensive line and talk about how hard those guys work their butts off. Right? Because that's a tough job. They've stunk at times. Drake May could go out there and say, my line stinks. He doesn't, because he's a true leader. He's a true teammate. He's a true team player. DeMario Douglas could learn a little something from Drake May. And also, how far did you think you could run before you had to look for the football? He's got a great arm. Is he going to throw it 100 yards? 150 yards? Were you going to run right out the stadium like you're Bo Jackson and maybe catch it on the practice field behind the stadium? Like, what did you think was going to happen, DeMario? You're open. Turn your head and catch the ball, and maybe you have a chance to win the game.
Well, I think we know who's one of the names on the thumbs down list.
Wow. How about that?
I think that would be that would be bullying and overkill. I got it off my chest. Now he's on neither lists. He's certainly not going to be on the thumbs up list, but he's not on the thumbs down list either. But I had to get that off my chest. I didn't like that comment. Sneaky little comments are sneaky subversive. Like, they can take out a team. This team needs better, needs to be moving in the right direction. They need to follow their leader. Their leader is Drake May. He doesn't throw anybody under the bus, so don't throw him under the bus.
All right, Andy, you got about a minute here for a couple of thumbs up, thumbs downs before we wrap it up and throw to a replay of Gerard Mayo postgame today to wrap up today's Six Rings postgame show.
The most obvious thumbs up today was Christian Barmore getting back on the football field. I don't think he was at his best. I'm not even sure it was a great idea to get him out there just like one day of practice on Wednesday in pads and then get back out there, but he seemed no worse for the wear, and it's good to get him on the field moving forward. As DeMarcus Covington said, it's a blessing. The guy had a health scare, real-world scare. He's back playing football. That's awesome. I thought Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry, the veterans, the professional receivers, were really good today. Bourne caught everything thrown his way, got in the end zone for a touchdown, had that play late to try to extend the drive. Henry caught a bunch of passes, kind of took a sneaky beating. He was even the guy that caught the pass on the play that Vedarian Lowe screwed up by lining up improperly. He took a hit to the lower back, but Hunter Henry continues to be the guy, and I'm putting him on there. I know you push back on this. I thought Alex Van Pelt had a pretty good day. I thought Alex Van Pelt, especially in the first half early on, really had things cooking a little bit, as much as Alex Van Pelt can. And I'm putting the O-line on there, even though the penalties suck. I thought they were going to be the reason they lost the game, and I don't think they were the reason they lost the game. So I thought the offensive line met the challenge. Defensive side of the ball, I'm going to start with Kyle Duggar. Return to the lineup. You're supposed to tackle people, not miss-tackle people, and he missed a lot of tackles in this game. Didn't think Kyle Duggar played very well. I'm going to put both defensive coaches on the list. I thought Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington were part of the problem today. Wasn't just the Gonzalez decision and how to utilize Gonzalez. I didn't think the defense was ready to go. I didn't think the defense had a great game plan a week after they did.
So I think they read their clippings this week. Got to be honest, yep. I think they may have sniffed it a little bit or read their clippings.
And you played a quarterback with a pulse and an offense with a pulse. You didn't play Caleb Williams and the Bears like you did a week ago. Kayshon Booty, I've said this earlier, but you got to catch the ball. I need you to A, catch slants when they hit you in the hands, and B, when he gives you a shot to make a play down the field, go get it. These guys continue to not make plays for Drake May. I put Booty in there. The Vedarian Lowe penalty gets on the thumbs down list.
No,
I don't even know
that
who
was a
for.
Backbreaker, man.
I know, you know, some of the you people on the internet were like, oh, this is a tic-tac call, whatever. Don't do it. We learned this lesson in the preseason and early in the year. Don't do it. Stop ruining plays. The extra 6 inches isn't worth it. So get your ass on the line of scrimmage or lined up with your teammate like you need to be. And then Taki Taki and Del Pettis, I thought, were a little bit overmatched at times, certainly on that touchdown. They ran that little out, and neither of them covered anybody. It was like they got caught in no man's land, so they just put their hand in their pants and stood there. That was bad.
Yeah, that wasn't great. That was great, Bob.
Nope.
That was not great. All right, there's your thumbs up, thumbs down. We gave you the Cars for Kid player of the game. And everything today, of course, on the Six Rings Postgame Show, which was brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVA services. It's all available at McFarlandEnergy.com. He's at Jumbo Heart. He'll be with you tomorrow from 2 to 6 on the afternoon show with the Drake May interview from Gillette Stadium as well. Your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here at the helm. I'll be with you tomorrow night from 6 to 7:30 with Megan Onnellini on the WEEI evening program. If you liked the show, congratulate Joe. And if not, you can always blame Braverman. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening to today's edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show. Your final Rams 28, Patriots 22, but how about that Drake May kid? And now, here are the words following the game from Coach Jerod Mayo. We will talk to you soon.
See you.